Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on July 5th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am well. It feels like I woke up this morning, it felt like a Sunday. Did it feel
really?
Like a Sunday for you? Yeah, because yesterday was a holiday. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you see fireworks yesterday?
Oh, did we see fireworks? Oh, my goodness. We, real quickly, what John and I do every year is we're up pretty early and we get on our bikes and we ride north on the Strand. It's not crazy yet. You know what I mean? I guess we were on the bike path about 11:30, 12, excuse me. And we drive all the way north to El Porto, right? We ride all the way north to El Porto and then we turn around and we stop. We have friends that have homes, off the Strand, on the Strand, you know, in Manhattan, Hermosa and stuff. So we stop and, you know, they have parties and stuff. So we did that yesterday and then rode our bikes. We got home, I think, about 3, and by then it was getting a little crazy, you know, on the Strand. We actually ended up riding in the alleys because the Strand was just getting really backed up, and we had to get home and get showered and dressed to go to a party up on the hill. Some friends of ours invited us up to their house for their 4th of July, you know, barbecue and party. So we got up there, I guess, about 6, and boy, oh boy. Well, first off, all day long, you could hear the fireworks. Day long. You could hear boom, 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 boom. There was like this background, you know, bass thing happening. And then, of course, once it started to get dark, they have a view of the entire basin. Their backyard, they're up on the hill, and their backyard just looks out over the entire basin, and boy, oh boy, that is quite a show, you know. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was fun. The food was great, the company was great, the fireworks were great. So we had a very nice, fairly relaxing day. But as I said, when I got up this morning, it felt like a holiday. So, what did you do? How was Carrie's birthday?
Well, first of all, the city of Redondo Beach this year decided to have fireworks on my wife's birthday,
which is
very unusual, since her birthday is July 1st. And that was, you know, we did something we hadn't done in a long time, as we went up to this little park at just before you get to Lanada Bay. you know, it's just about 20, 25 parking spaces. But you can then look over the trail along Palos Verdes Peninsula and look back over Redondo and see the fireworks. And that was really good. We took our daughter up there and we just watched the fireworks from the hill.
Nice.
So I recommend. Yeah, it was fun. Like you did last night, only this is a public park and it has great parking and there are not that many parking spaces. Not a lot of people do go there, just locals. And it was really fun. And so I recommended a friend go there last night, and he and his girlfriend, he said they had an amazing time watching the fireworks over the L.A. Basin. I want to do that sometime.
Yeah.
Carrie and I, we ended up at Disneyland.
Oh, nice.
We go there a lot.
It's one of your favorite places, I know. Well, happy birthday, Carrie.
Yeah.
Carrie.
Happy
yeah, a little
birthday,
late, but
Carrie.
Well, I did wish her a birthday, happy birthday on Facebook on the day of.
Okay.
Now, before we get to our guest and topic, I just have a little something I want to mention here. You know, Connecta, they do a community celebration and chili cook-off every year. And this year it's going to be on July 14th. So it's from 11 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. It's a free event. Everybody's welcome. Food, prizes, fun, Texas style barbecue rig, chili cook off, music, raffle prizes, giveaways, more. A lot going on. So the barbecue lunch is going to be from 11:30 to 1:30. The chili tasting takes place from 11:30 to 12:30. And the winners are announced at 1:30. So if you're a fan of chili, I suggest you go. A suggested donation, $2 for food and $1 for raffle tickets. And the proceeds will benefit Michael's Learning Place and Richstone Family Center. So that is
right.
Saturday, July 14th. Not this Saturday.
Hello.
The Connecta Community Celebration and Chili Cook-Off. Not this Saturday, next Saturday. Okay.
Okay.
And on we go.
Well, you know, I am excited about our guest today because there's something about the art that she does that is so immediate is the only word that comes to mind right now, but I'm going to ask her about that because there are many different kinds of art. Some kinds of art artists spend, you know, weeks, if not months, laboring over. And then there's the kind of art that some artists produce in an instant. And, you know, it's just, would love to talk to her about that. Who's our guest today, Jackie?
Our guest this morning is local photographer Kat Mugg. Well known in Los Angeles for her individual and family photography portraiture, Kat's work also includes headshots of sports celebrities and dynamic concert images of musicians, as well as corporate work for companies such as Skechers. Now, as a former student at MiraCosta High School and after earning a BA and master's at Cal State Long Beach in political science, Kat's creative career flourished. With her drive, innovation, and unique photos of her baby son and word of mouth, the buzz began in the South Bay, reverberating around her talent and ability to beautifully capture children. Her photography career, specializing in babies, children, and families, creating timeless fine art portraits, was launched. South Bay native, Kat resides in Manhattan Beach. She has four children, including local musician Slater Monk of the band Good Vibes, and is currently a contributor to South Bay Magazine. Now, Kat has an exhibition at Shockbox Gallery in Hermosa Beach starting tonight, July 5th, and running through July 8th. And she'll be showing for the first time her very exciting 0.25 Alt collection of alternative rock musician images displaying mixed originals with photographs and capturing the light, energy, and movement of renowned musicians and bands such as Gwen Stefani, Chris Cornell, Mumford & Sons, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and more. Welcome to the program, Kat. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. You have a very exciting career. But it started off with politics. How did that start?
Yeah.
I just always wanted to be a lawyer. So I got my bachelor's and master's degree in political science. And then mm-hmm. I wanted to go to law school. But then I had my son mm-hmm. and I switched gears quickly.
Okay.
Is that how
okay.
it started? Is that how it started taking pictures of your child?
Well, I always took pictures. I would backpack to Europe. I have my master's degree in comparative politics. So I'd backpack through Europe and take pictures all over Europe. So I always had the bug, but I didn't start taking portraits until I had my son.
So it was like mm-hmm. a little bit of a side hustle,
right.
a side hustle. Yeah. Oh. That's interesting.
What?
I'll be honest. I just wanted to say, I don't know anybody that ever wanted to be a lawyer when they grew up.
I think, Jackie, we have had the experience, my wife and I, of thinking that our daughter would be an attorney because she was always a mediator. She was always the one that wanted to find out the best solution for other people's conflicts. And she relished that role, and she really was good at it. And we thought that being an attorney, that was kind of one of the signature sort of satisfactions, is finding a solution to a problem that wasn't a mathematical problem, but a kind of a relational problem. And
that's classic middle child syndrome. That's classic middle child syndrome. Yeah.
That's interesting. Was that the motivation, Kat, because you wanted to resolve conflicts, or what was it that you thought lawyers did?
I actually wanted to go to law school and then work for the State Department and be more involved uh-huh. in the comparative government situation where you're dealing with governments.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Did you have a passion for a particular culture, or you thought comparatively, what culture was that?
I wrote my master's thesis on the English constitutional system. So I was really interested in the monarchy and the entire English process.
Right, right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ah, wow. That's
you learn
that's
something
new
every day.
No, it's the journey that we all take to our quote-unquote final destination is always a fascinating one, and Jackie and I love talking about that, because every day that you express yourself as an artist or as a photographer, all of the things that you've experienced in your life can come to bear on that, depending on, you
exactly.
know, what shadow and position and composition based on your experience. Now, in looking at some of your photographs, one of the things that really strikes me most is the unique shape. I mean, you find, or the photographs that I've seen that you're publishing are very, very, like, in the moment, that unique shot that, you know, a second before would not have been good, a second after would not have been good. It was that second that made it. Is that something that you're looking for, or is that something that just happens?
I think it's something that just happens in what I'm looking for. Like, I liked it how you said that photography is an art that's captured instantly. I think it's like the first time I've heard it referred to like that, but it's true. It's exactly like how you see it in the moment, and it's instantaneous to a certain degree. And I love looking at people's eyes and the light on and how it falls on their eyes. And so that's how I base my portrait photography. In terms of my music photography, when you're shooting a band live, it's only available light. And they're moving all over the stage. You know, when you take a picture inside, you typically shoot with a flash. I don't like flash mm-hmm. photography at all. My photography is more mm-hmm. about light. It's predominantly about lighting. So when you're shooting live musicians and they're moving all around the stage, to me, it's such a charge trying to figure out constantly changing the shutter speeds and the aperture to get what I want, because the lighting on the stage is constantly changing. And it's kind of a charge when you're doing it, just to see what you can get, because you only shoot three songs when you're shooting them live, and you never know what it's going to present. And I think the art involved in it is just constantly moving and trying to figure out what exposures you want to shoot at and catch the movement without it being blurry.
So let's geek out a little bit about the science of photography. You're in the moment, you're shooting a show, a band on stage, there's lights flashing, there are perhaps people taking pictures and flash bulbs and things. So what kind of aperture can capture that? Is it the speed that you're looking for? What are you looking for? What are some of the thoughts in your head about speed
Right. You want a fast enough shutter speed that you're going to capture them without them being blurry. There are no flashes going off, because there's no flashes allowed in the pit. The artists don't want to be distracted by it. But flashes tend to wash out a photo anyways, and you don't get the kind of depth and emotion in a photo when you shoot it with a flash. So in order to get them where they're not blurry and you're capturing the motion, you need to have a pretty high ISO. It could probably be 2000 ISO. Where a typical ISO when you're shooting outside would be 100. If you're shooting in the shade, it would be like 400. Indoors at a concert like that, they do have some of them. So usually you shoot at an ISO of like 1600 or 2000 with a shutter speed of at least 320 and then an aperture of like 2.8. But it's constantly moving because the light changed constantly too.
Well, I have a question. Right. I have a question. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned that you only photograph three songs. Why is that?
That's all you're allowed. The artists want to be able to relax and know that they're not having their photo taken. So they'll, you know, you get three songs and the security guards are pushing you out.
Really? Oh, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about that.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll go an entire song without even turning the lights on. So you just never really know what you're going to get. And different artists present differently. You know, you could shoot, like, Kings of Leon, and Caleb Followell never moves from the mic. Or you could be shooting Matt Schultz from Cage the Elephant, and he never stops. He's, like, kind of like Mick Jagger. He's just all over the stage. And so you get different elements with each artist.
Well, that certainly begs the question, going from infant portraiture, children, families, to how did you get into that part of photography, the musicians?
I started doing that before I started shooting portraits, because I loved music, and when I go to a show, I'm ADD, which probably a lot of artists are ADD. And I get kind of antsy at concerts, you know, back when I was in my 20s. And the thought of, I think the first time I saw a photographer in the pit, you're literally like 5 feet away from the lead singer. And the first time I did it was Lollapalooza. And I couldn't believe what an amazing experience it was to be that close to the musicians and hear the music.
Huh.
So up close and personal.
And how does one get credentials for that?
I started shooting for the Easy Reader, which is a little local newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
And so they would give me access. And then eventually I got more access, and I started shooting for Guitar World and different publications. And then I just started just shooting for myself, because I didn't want to turn everything around so quick.
Oh, interesting.
Because I have the portrait business, so.
Right. So you didn't have to do it for money. You did it for the art.
Fun.
So when you shoot for yourself, and you say, wow, these photos, this one particular photo is particularly good. How do you present that to the artist for them to maybe wanna, I don't know, buy it or own it, or how do you do that? Is there a, do you do it through an agency?
I actually don't do that. I don't think the artists, you know, the artists are a bit numb to it. They're so used to it. That's their life. You know, they're on tour all the time. They're not as impressed by it as people who aren't in the industry.
Okay.
So it's strictly for your own edification. It's for you. You love
exactly.
going to these events and taking these pictures, and then you take your pictures and you go back to the studio. And then you do stuff to it. We posted about half a dozen of your photographs, and it's not just, they're not just all photographs.
Right. So what I've done is made it into mid-century art. So my house is mid-century, which means it's like, you know, 1960s, Andy Warhol, that whole kind of look. And so what I did was, is I would take my music photography and incorporate it into the style of my house. And that's how I got started with the show, is because a lot of people would come into my home and be like, I love that. You know, I would buy that just like that. And it got me to thinking, I could really do something with my music photography and incorporate it into a mid-century aesthetic and, you know, have a show and exhibit my work that way.
Wow.
Right, right.
I love that. Well, you know, it goes back to the old saying, do what you love, love what you do, and the money
right.
will come.
Right. Exactly.
Oh.
No, I love that. That's great that you're just doing something for yourself and saw that other people appreciated it, and it turns into an entirely different line of work that you obviously love.
Exactly, and that's how my portrait business started too, because I was taking pictures of my son, and everyone was like, oh, I love that. Would you do that for me? And then that was when I realized, you know, I could switch gears and not go to law school and do photography, and I loved it. Because at the time, I was working as a paralegal as I was finishing up my master's degree, and it just, that world wasn't for me. That trying to make it from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday was not my character.
Isn't that funny? Joe and I have talked about this before. A lot of people grow up thinking, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do. And then they get into it, and they quickly realize, this is not what I want to do. This is not what I want to do.
Right.
Yep.
Wow. Wow.
Exactly.
Well, it is so fascinating that the whole concept of photography is something that our family really is interested in. My daughter has a great camera, and she loves the idea of being a photographer, but I don't think she's ready to really make the commitment to, she's had some classes, but the commitment to just do the work, you know, just go to the places and take the photographs and really start just getting through what you have to get through, which is
it's you got to put in your 10,000 hours.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Exactly.
I've definitely put in 10,000 hours.
Okay.
How old is she?
She is 26.
Definitely
well,
a different
let me see.
Market these days.
Yeah.
Well, the other part of it is there are so many different types of photography. I mean, you're taking your photography, and what do you call it that you do with it? I saw a picture of Gwen Stefani, and it's like animated. What are you doing to it?
Making it look more mid-century, like the entire Andy Warhol concept and the artists of that time period. Lichtenstein was really all about like the dots on the face. Do you remember that whole aesthetic?
Yes.
So it's
but
just
how,
an incorporation of those kinds of techniques.
And is that all done on a computer? Are you painting it? Are you is it a different medium that you're using to do that? Joe, this is when I hate that we're on podcast, that we can't see what we're talking about. Right. It's the only time I hate it.
Oh. Right, right.
It's all done in Photoshop. So in my exhibition, there's two parts of the gallery. So the whole front half of the gallery will be artwork, which will be music photography incorporated into a mid-century aesthetic. And then the back of the gallery will all be traditional photographs.
Mm. All right. Mm. Okay. And do you count John Van Hammersveld as one of your influences there? He was at that time, right? Am I saying his name right, Joe? John Van Hammersveld,
John Van
right?
Hammersveld.
Yes, yeah,
John Van Hammersveld. Yeah.
He did the iconic, what's the movie? The Endless Summer poster. The Endless Summer.
Yes.
The was it album work or a poster? I can't remember. But a lot of bright colors.
No.
A lot of.
Movie poster.
Yeah, a lot of iconic images. Yeah, I can see that.
When you think of what you do now, Kat, do you see other artists doing that now? I mean, do you see other artists doing things that you would recognize as mid-century work today, or do you think that that's not that common? How would you respond?
Common at all? It's just something that I personally like because I styled my house mid-century, and I know that a lot of people come to my house and say that they love it, even though their house isn't mid-century modern. So it made me think, like, wow, you know, this is something that I love to do, and it would be great to do it in a, you know, a more quantitative way of having a show and showing people different ways of showing music photography.
Okay.
Yeah, as I said,
okay.
Again, there are so many. I mean, and, you know, I don't know if it's like this every place else, but here in the South Bay, we have so many talented photographers. You know, some of them specialize in landscapes, seascapes. Others specialize in portraiture. You have, I mean, there's just so many. And everyone is different. Every single one of them is different. And now Kat is bringing her own unique spin to what she's doing. And I just love that it all happens so organically, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think art tends to happen organically because you have to have a passion for it. Like, my favorite part of this entire exhibition is the creation process, is figuring out what colors I want to do, which artists I want to pop out of a picture, you know, what kind of treatment I want to do on it, what kind of frame I want to put with that particular artwork, what series do I want to do, which, you know, like, a lot of my work will be, like, different artists for different colors, which is, you know, very Andy Warhol kind of aesthetic. And I love that part of it. That, now the measuring and trying to make sure that the frames are exact, you know, 2 inches apart, that part is not my favorite part. When you're hanging the show.
That's the gallery owner. You got to make sure the gallery owner gets that right. Well, one more time, Joe, before we do the station break, Shockbox Gallery, Hermosa Beach. It starts tonight. Tonight is the industry reception from 5 to 8. Friday, right. July 6th, is the artist reception from 5 to 8. Saturday, July 7th, from 6 to 9, is the opening reception to the general public. And Sunday, July 8th, you're going to have a brunch from 10 to 12, which I want to get more details in after we come back from the station break. Okay, Joe?
Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking photography. We're talking the photography of Kat Monk, a local South Bay photographer who does portraitures and concert footage and all kinds of images, corporate work for local companies such as Skechers. But we're fascinated by her process. And we're also talking about her coming exhibition starting tonight at Shock Box Gallery in Hermosa Beach. So check it out. We're going to talk about all of that and other events coming up throughout the weekend. Back with Kat. So when you think about your career now, I mean, it sounds like you're doing very well. It sounds like you're doing all the things that photographers normally talk about when they say, oh, this is what I'll be doing when I'm successful. Do you feel successful?
Yes, I feel successful. Yeah. I mean, my portrait business really took off, and I was really fortunate how quickly it took off when I decided to become a photographer. So I feel really fortunate. I think it's really hard to become a photographer these days in the digital era. Back in my day, it was the film days, and everyone had to hire a photographer. I've just started shooting film again. It's a great medium, but that's definitely where I got my start, was in the film days, and it was a little bit different back then. There wasn't as many people calling themselves photographers.
Are you
now? Everybody is a photographer. Everybody.
Are you familiar with something called Kodak One, Kat? Have you heard of that? Kodak One?
No. I haven't heard of that.
It's an effort by Kodak to rebrand one of the partners that they've been working with. It's a company that basically demonstrates what's called an image rights management platform. Recently, a Formula One driver is moving all of his images, all the images that he owns, he's moving onto the Kodak One platform. And that is a collaboration with the artists that actually shot the photos and the subject of the artist, I mean, the subject of the photos. Because then once they're on the platform, then whenever they are used in magazines and other venues, all the licensing is handled by Kodak One. So it helps photographers, you know, monetize their work.
Right.
And get actually paid. One of the biggest issues today in photography is getting paid for your work. Because once you take the photos and they get out there, they kind of get out there and they get incorporated in other sort of mashups without your control, and perhaps become, you know, they make money, but you don't get advantage of it. So that's
right.
What Kodak One is trying to,
you know,
solve.
There was a very famous photograph somebody took of President Obama. It was a very famous photograph that another artist went and he mashed it up a little bit, and he put the word hope on the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And that became this iconic image. I believe that – didn't that go to court, the original artist, and the court deemed, no, it was something completely different? Yes, they used that as a base, but then they changed something. Kat, you know the story about that?
Actually, I think it was the photographer said that Shepard Fairey didn't have the right to use that image.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't remember what ended up happening with it, though.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. The court said no. They've taken it and changed it enough that technically it's no longer the same thing, which I thought was awful. You know, I mean, you know, the regular photograph was nice, but then this other guy took it to another level. And as you said, the original photographer, you know, was kind of on the outs. But Joe, you know, after you described it, I do recall reading about Kodak One. That sounds like a great platform, because any image, you can, you know, literally Google Images, you know, anything that's out there is on Google Images.
And that's the thing. I just want to briefly read this little paragraph. Protecting the storytellers of the image economy. Protecting the Storytellers of the Image Economy. The rise of the internet, paired with the ubiquity of mobile devices, has fueled growth in both the total number of photos circulated and how that content is used, much of which is used without the copyright holder's permission. For photographers and those licensing their creative work, the landscape has changed. More images globally available has led to lower average licensing fees for using a picture. The result, more work and less income. And Kodak One is trying to address that. If you're a photographer or a would-be photographer, you should check it out because this is the future. And I'm excited about that because I think that being a photographer, being a creative, can be a beautiful, wonderful life if you can make money, right? If you can make a business out of it. And not a lot of photographers are successful at that. UCAD have been successful. And I also want to talk about just the style of photography that you do in other areas like portraiture, where you said you focus on the way that the light hits the eyes. Can you talk a little bit about that when you're taking portraiture of perhaps even children and babies?
It's all on how I see the light hitting their face and what's flattering and how it makes their eyes pop rather than a lot of people who call themselves photographers will just put a flash on their camera and just shoot. The problem with shooting with flash photography is it just takes away the different layers of the face, the shadows and whatnot. Mm. When you're shooting with light, available light, studio lighting you can manipulate to get the kind of look that you're looking for even with natural light. But natural light is such a beautiful medium. And if it's used properly where there's no shadows underneath the eyes and you're using it to just really highlight your subject, it just makes for a beautiful portrait.
It's all about the lighting.
There is something about... I'm looking now at pictures of babies, and when you look at a baby and you see a photo that's taken without flash, there's a depth to their eyes and an innocence in their eyes that is unmatched, right? And then you look at another photograph, obviously taken with a flash, and it's as beautiful as other images, but you see that bright dot in their eyes. And it's just not as it's not as impactful.
And you lose the depth in the image when you shoot with a flash. You just don't get the same kind of characteristics that you do with natural light. You do sometimes will get a catch light, even if you're shooting with available light, or you often will see, you can see the photographer lots of times in the eyes too, if you look really closely.
Or the camera or something.
And you can see the shape of the photographer too. It's pretty fun to look. I'm always looking at the catch eyes and in different photos.
Don't they use that? Don't they use that in the CSI stuff when they're working with a photograph, don't they sometimes go to the eyes and you can see the killer, right?
Exactly
right.
Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
No, that was done.
Oh, okay. Kat, take us through your schedule and explain to us what an opening reception is. I've gone to a bunch of those. What is an industry reception?
So essentially, the openings at Shockbox are typically on Saturdays. So when we designed the show, we said that Saturday would be the opening night, and then maybe do like some sneak peeks Thursday, Friday night. But the feedback that we've been getting from everyone is that a lot of people want to come to the show. So we just kind of opened it up rather than just being RSVP only Thursday, Friday. So Thursday, originally the thought was to invite interior designers and real estate agents and the industry to kind of have them come out and kind of see, like, hey, you could design someone's home with this artwork. But there's been so much feedback about a lot of people want to come to the show that all the nights are essentially open to anyone, you know, whatever night works best for them. And then Friday it was called Artist Reception because my son's band is going to play.
Yes.
Slater Heidrich. He's 15 and his band is Good Vibe. So I figured, you know, that was the night where I was inviting a lot of friends and family. So that's why it was called Artist Reception. But once again, if Friday's the only night that you can come, Friday is a great night to come. And then Saturday is the traditional opening reception. And then Sunday will be the closing reception. So it's again show, and I have a feeling a lot of people will be coming through. So it's open
to
anyone who wants to come.
On the list I got, it said that Sunday there was going to be a brunch reception. I was like, ooh, that's different. What does that entail? Omelets?
Oh, we'll just have some fruit out and stuff so people can come look at the art and have a little fruit and refreshments, a little orange juice.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm going to come by. I'm coming by on Friday because of the band. We always enjoy the live music. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's gonna be fun. I have we're getting together with another couple, friend of ours. We're gonna go to the show and then we're going out to dinner afterwards. It's a nice Friday night date night.
You can come by and have a martini because since we're going with the mid-century theme, I figured the drink should be mid-century. So we're doing a tend exchange is gonna be running the bar and they'll be serving martinis or gimlets. Kind of go with a mid-century era.
Nice. It'll be our cocktail hour. I like it.
Right.
Well, Shockbox is doing a lot. How long has Shockbox been around?
Shockbox has been around about a year and a half, and they've really brought art to Hermosa, where you always had to go to LA to see art shows. And what they're doing down there is amazing, and bringing in different artists. My show's a little bit different than some of the other shows they've been doing just because I wanted to keep mine, you know, to a photographer show and have it be like a gallery exhibition. So, but they have done shows on eating disorders and addiction, and Patty Astor just did a show there. And after my show, it's going to be Dennis Dugan. He's an actor, and he has a show coming out called Monkeys and Typewriters. And he'll be using mixed media. So, and his show starts on the 13th. So they're doing
nice.
You know, it's really nice to go see art without having to go to LA all the time.
Oh, believe me, you're preaching to the choir there. I mean, you know, Joe and I just want to get through life without having to get on a freeway. You know, I went to the. I couldn't make the Patty Astor exhibit at Shockbox. I saw it at Pacific Coast Gallery. She had a one-night thing there, so I went over to that to check that out. But I couldn't get to the Shockbox venue when she was there.
Right.
I love your idea about the industry reception. What was originally the industry reception? It's not something I ever thought of before. As a photographer,
right.
And I'm sure you thought of this because people were coming into your own house and saying, "I love that. Can
right.
I buy it?"
Exactly.
That is a fantastic idea.
I have other artwork in my house, so I'm actually working on another show. I had gone to New York City and taken black and white film photos of not your traditional things that you would go to New York City and take pictures of, like. I was at the Statue of Liberty and saw an amazing tree and turned that way and took a picture going the other direction, and the lighting was amazing. And I've had people come in my house and want to buy those too. So I'm working on a show where I'm going through different cities in the United States, and eventually I'll be doing a show with all of that work too. But so far I've done New York City, Austin, Texas, New Orleans, Chicago, San Francisco, Charlotte, North Carolina. So it's been fun.
Wow. Let's repeat that. You have 4 children. You have a portraiture business. You are going to all these rock concerts, taking photos, and then you actually have to work on the photos. And now you're telling us you're traveling to all these things. Where do you get the time? How did you get a clone?
I said I was ADD. I just like to keep going, going, going.
Wow.
But I love taking pictures. It's a passion. It's not really like a job. I love it. It's what I want to be doing.
When you this other project that you're working on, different cities. So, do you take like family vacations and then incorporate your photography time, or do you do that to go to photograph and maybe bring a couple of the kids along? How does that work?
It just depends. It could be a family vacation, or it could be my boyfriend traveling for a trade show, and I go with him, and then while he's at the trade show, I walk around with my film camera and take pictures. But it's been fun shooting film again, I'd have to say. It's
film.
Different. You
How
have
do you...
to really – go ahead.
Mm.
No, go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Go on, Kat.
Oh, just shooting film again. It was hard at first not to – you know, you take the picture and then you go to look at the LCD panel to see what your picture looks like. You know, when shooting film, there's no looking at that LCD panel. And I have my meter out again. I'm taking meter, you know, lighting exposure with my light meter. It's fun. It definitely is a charge to – Well, I was just in New Orleans a few weekends ago, and I went down into the lower Ninth Ward to try and capture some of the damage that still remains 13 years after Katrina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's there's a charge in it, too, just trying to see what you can capture.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's all guesswork at that point. Well, not guesswork. That's not the right term. But I remember, let me think. It was years ago, but my husband and I went to Africa, and this is when digital cameras were first really there, you know, and he bought his first digital camera. I have a very nice Canon, you know, that I've had for 25 years or whatever, with several lenses, and so we go on this trip to Africa, and I spent the whole trip taking pictures with my camera, and he spent the whole trip taking pictures with his camera. And when we came home, I, you know, dropped the film off to be developed, and he went to his computer and uploaded his chip or card, and none of his pictures came out.
Oh no!
Really?
None of his pictures came out. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was broken or if he didn't know what he was doing. As I said, it was very new in the digital camera world, and I was like, well, thank goodness I brought all that film with me. We forget what that's like, and I had them do contact sheets for me because I had, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pictures, and it's a long process. It's a long process with film, and we forget that, but that, you know, that's the way it was. Remember that?
Right.
Remember that, Joe?
Loop.
I remember I actually did a little development of film in developmental, you know, chemicals and a dark room. And I thought it was the most, you know, it was exciting, and it was chemical. I love the process of working in the lab.
Are you doing that, Kat? Kat, do you have a lab that you're using? How did you go back to that?
I have a lab doing the processing now. I used to have a dark room back in the day, but it wasn't really my forte, because you could be in the dark room for 6 hours working on 1 8x10. And the minute I found that I could have a lab do the processing for me, because I'm a portrait photographer. So portrait photographers, by virtue of that, are not as technical as, say, an automobile photographer or a product photographer. Product and automobile photographers would be way more technical and precise. Portrait photographers are a little more wispy, and you have to you have to move with your subject and figure out, you know, what is the best way you're going to shoot. You can't be super technical, or you lose the moment and you don't get the portrait that you're looking for.
Well, I've had a little experience getting headshots over the years, and I have to tell you, it is the most uncomfortable thing I may have ever experienced. You know, okay, put your chin out and bring your chin down and shoulder back and do this. And I want your leg here. And it's I mean, as I said, these are, you know, professional headshots.
Right.
You know, it's not careless, like, easy thing. You know, it's professional. It's for your business card or something. And my first experience with that, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Is this what professional models go through? I never experienced anything like that.
I try not to do that because the more you try and position people, the more awkward it can become. So I try and have them move naturally. I'll give them some direction, but I really try and have them look comfortable and try and not overpose them is pretty much my goal.
Yeah. Well, as I said, these were professional headshots. And by the way,
right.
they came out fabulous. I don't
right.
look uncomfortable at all, but I was imagining, you know, sometimes you see it on TV or in the movies where you got the professional model standing up there and the photographers are all around them and they're just moving, as you said, naturally, and they look so graceful. But, you know, there's a little bit of that chin out, chin down, shoulders back thing going on. It's got to be,
definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah. We always like to get some contact information if anybody that's listening is interested in portraiture or purchasing some of your pieces or website, email, phone, any kind of contact information you want to give out, Kat?
Sure. My Instagram is KatMonthPhoto, so you can follow me at KatMonthPhoto. I have an Instagram just for the show, which is 25alt by KatMonthPhoto. So there's two different Instagrams. And my website is katmonth.com. That's KATMONK.com. And then I have a Facebook, which is KatMonth Photography, as well as Twitter, KatMonth Photography.
Okay. I may just be completely dense. I'm not seeing. But what does the 0.25 mean?
It's for 25 years of alternative music. So 0.25 is for a quarter of a century. And then alt is for alternative music. Because I've had some people say, like, oh, you know, I really love your rock photography. You know, do you have a picture of Tom Petty? And I'll be like, no. You know, my music photography is more my music aesthetic, which would be, you know, Chris Cornell is one of my favorite artists. Cage the Elephant. So my music's more alternative. In terms of the photography that I have and not Tom Petty or Mick Jagger.
Well, so you said 25 years of alternative music. Would that be the beginning of, say, the grunge scene?
It was the very beginning. I remember the very first musician I shot was Chris Cornell as part of Soundgarden, and Soundgarden as part of that grunge era. It was maybe right in the middle of grunge, for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I guess I never thought about it. Alternative. Yeah. You know, that Chris Cornell had just the most amazing voice. You know,
amazing.
It's always so sad. It's always so sad. Talented people. I'm still not quite past Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. So.
Right.
Makes me very sad.
It is sad looking at my work and seeing the musicians that have committed suicide or died from drugs since I started shooting. You know, Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington, Scott Weiland. Super sad.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad. Now, we have to ask.
There's something...
So,
No, I'm sorry.
What?
Go on. Go on.
So I just have to ask. So you're taking all these pictures, and has any of these artists ever approached you and said, "Ooh, I want that for an album cover"?
Jane's Addiction did. They put it on one of their CD, like back when you'd have CDs.
Oh.
You know how, yeah, when you'd have CDs and then you'd open it and it would be like a booklet. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I'll admit, I
still buy CDs. Not often.
Oh, you do?
I do. You know, I have my iTunes. I have my playlists. We've got the Bose. We've got Sonos. My husband has this house wired like nobody's business. From your phone, you can control, you know, because we both love music. You know, we listen to music all day, every day. But between the backyard speakers and the indoor speakers and the TV speakers, and he's got the whole thing wired. But there's nothing I enjoy more. I'll pick out, up until very recently, I had a 5-CD player. And wow. I would pick five CDs that were that connected in some way. Maybe they were all Zydeco CDs, or maybe they were all movie soundtrack CDs. And I would and you know, 5 CDs, man, that's you know, several hours of good music that you don't, you know, have to do anything with. So yes,
right, mm-hmm. right.
Still buy the occasional CD. I'm a dinosaur.
Well, I'm trying to see if I can hook up a record player for the show.
Oh, you know,
yeah, I wanted to bring some records.
Yeah, I would love that. You know, we went to the El Segundo Art Walk in June, and
mm-hmm.
there is a shop down there. I'm gonna totally forget the name. But mm-hmm. it's a vinyl subscription service, and. I guess you go online, you fill out the information, you maybe write down, I guess, what music or specific albums you like, and every month you get a couple of albums mailed to you, vinyl. And
wow, that's so cool.
Wait, it gets better. They invented a turntable that's Wi-Fi. So you can put
wow.
the vinyl on the turntable. Oh, and I'm just totally going to forget. Joe, if you want to take it over, maybe I can find out what it is. I'll look it up, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that concept of, you know, analog vinyl music is really coming back. It's not national. I mean, there's only a few places that are able to make money doing that, but there's a few record stores in, I think, West Hollywood that are doing very, very well because you go there and
vinyl.
It's like the only source for vinyl.
Vinyl's back. Totally.
Oh, it is back. What, on Friday night at the show when Good Vibe plays, they're doing a fundraiser for Maricosta End Epilepsy. And Jimmy Lindbergh of Pennywise, who's, you know, local musician, he donated a record. So I thought it was great. He donated a record and a T-shirt and some tickets to one of his next shows. But I love that he donated a record. I think it's fabulous, the old school.
That's great. One other thing we should mention, Artworks LA is going to be at
right.
Shockbox Gallery on Thursday, July 5th, at tonight at 5 p.m. They're going to accept a donation. From you?
Right.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's going to be one of my images of Gwen Stefani. It's a great shot where she's just has so much attitude, and she's just looking right into the crowd, right above my head. And I'm really excited to donate it to them today.
That's Artworks
awesome.
With a K? Artworks with a K. Artworks LA.
Artworks LA. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Have a great program.
All right. All right, everybody. It opens tonight. It's open to the public. So all four nights,
right.
all 4 days, it's open to everybody.
Right.
Whatever night you can get there, go. You don't have to wait until Saturday. So as I said, Joe, I'll
right.
be going Friday.
Okay. Cat Monk,
okay, great.
Photographer. Thank you for joining
right.
us today.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's been wonderful. What a great representative you are for your artwork and your art and what you do. It was quite a pleasure. We look forward to seeing you around town, snapping photos. And thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show,
thank
ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Kat. We'll see y'all very soon. Bye-bye.